for the hope. This season, show us the light. Bring the light. Help us to go into the light. Would you light up our Advent? Would the coming of Jesus be the big deal this year, more than any other? Show us what you're doing, what you have done, and what you want to do through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we begin Advent, we're going to look at the beginning of the light. And we are looking at what is called today the hopeful light as we think about the lights of Christmas. Luke chapter 1 is where we're going to be going, and we're going to look at beginning at verse 5, and we're going to look particularly at Elizabeth. And so we're going to call this and light it the Elizabeth candle for the first week. It's a story that might be familiar to many of us, but I want you to catch the scene and the stage again. 400 years of silence. That was the last time a prophet came and spoke to the Jews. 400 years. So picture it, 1618 was the last time we heard from God. And now suddenly the light starts coming on with this story that we're going to look at today. And so today, as we look at particularly the whole of this, read a fairly long portion all the way to verse 56, but we're looking particularly today at Elizabeth. So I'd like you to follow along as I read this story. It'll be up on the screen. It's on the chair Bibles, if you'd like to follow along, on page 714, Luke chapter 1, looking at the story of this beginning of the light. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, I wish I could get my voice right up out of here now. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you are to call him John, and he will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or any fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, How can this be? How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me fulfilled." And then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. The word of the Lord. Will you let what is perhaps a familiar story become fresh today? In addition to the 400 years of silence that I already mentioned, I want to recount to you that Rome was a very evil influence. Widespread was the corruption that they shared and spread abroad, and the immorality and the vile spirituality was rampant. It was a very dark time. They had appointed a local ruler named Herod, who was a notorious madman. He was awful in his ruling. It was, in short, a very dark time. But the lights of Christmas begin to dawn. Suddenly, the life-changing power of light began to be seen. And the first of it was pretty small, but we observe that light reveals, light humbles, and light transforms from our story of Elizabeth. Notice, light reveals. Remember, as we look at Elizabeth, that it's a lot of other things going on in the story, but let's particularly see the light and how God chose to reveal it in the person of Elizabeth. Both Zechariah and Elizabeth, we're told in verse 5, were from the priestly line of Aaron. They were carefully selected, obviously. And God looks down from heaven, and what does he see when he looks at them? Notice his assessment, verse 6. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God. Does that mean that they were perfect? No, it tells us that he was there and in the temple executing the requirements of the law. They followed through with the law. They did their sacrifices to have their sins forgiven. They were putting faith in those actions so that God would transform them and make them righteous people. But Elizabeth was hurting. She was not doing well. Barrenness was often believed to be the result of sin. That's the way it was talked about. That's the way it was whispered among the women. That someone was barren was believed to have been in sin. But notice verse 7 tells us specifically, and look at the details of things that Luke carefully researched, this eyewitness, to go and interview them and find out these little finite details to help us to see the burgeoning of the light that was there. It tells us that they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, not because she was in sin. We know that it was a disgrace to her because in verse 25, she understood that she was considered disgraced among her people because, notice verse 25, she says that he has taken away my disgrace. The word there is of a public disgrace. It's that she was despised because of her barrenness. But she'd done nothing wrong. Do you know what we have here? It's called shame. There's a difference between shame and guilt. Elizabeth was experiencing shame. One of the things the light reveals is the foolishness of shame. Shame is destructive. It's not from God. Guilt for sin is appropriate. When we sin, we are to feel guilty, but shame is not the same as guilt. We differentiate with those words that shame is the idea of focusing on self, and guilt is focusing on our behavior that we have done wrong. Guilt is that I have done something bad. Shame says, I am bad. Let me illustrate that. A wife loses her temper with her husband and yells hurtful things at him. When she comes to him later and she confesses, is she guilty for having done that? Yes. Should she feel bad for having done that? Yes. But then when she confesses both to God and to him, then she says something like, I don't know why you stay with me. I'm just no good. What she's done now is take the guilt which she repented for and turn it into shame, saying, it's not that I did bad, I am bad. There's no place for shame. The light reveals the foolishness of shame. Guilt for sin is appropriate and it should be listened to. And the gospel teaches us how to respond. It is in repentance and in receiving Christ's sacrifice for our sins. But the light reveals the dark lies of shame for what they are. Lies. How do we know they are lies? Because Christ was born. He lived. He was shamed himself. And he died. He died to tell you that you are worthy of his love. That you are worth his sacrifice. And if the creator of all the universe loves you enough to die for you, is there any place in your life for shame? For saying that you are not good? You see, light reveals the lie of shame. Light reveals Christ's love. But in addition, light humbles us. Notice, Elizabeth is barren until late in life, and often those stories come out in the Bible. Why does God wait so long with this barrenness thing? Well, it's obvious why he does it, because there's no natural fix. You just don't get a lady that old pregnant. Doesn't happen. And so the idea is there's only one place to go then. And that one place to go is where the Bible is always prodding us to go. It's only God. Only God can he fix this. And so in humility, she continues to look to God regardless. Now he comes, but she has been trusting in him and continuing to do so. She trusts in him and him alone. Those who walk in the light grow humble, and they know where to turn. Not to thinking that life should be different, because many times it is not, but to the one who holds all of life in his hands. So she expressed her humility, and the humility also, though, of grace. Notice in verse 24, for 5 months she remained in seclusion. Now, we can't be sure why Elizabeth went into seclusion for 5 months. There's lots of speculations out there about why she chose to do that. But certainly one of the ideas that we derive from verse 25, where she says, "He has shown his favor and has taken away my disgrace among the people," that what she has done is she's put herself in seclusion that this public disgrace would no longer be spoken of because she's not around. She, in other words, put herself in seclusion so that those unjustifiable now accusations wouldn't be made against her. See, people were doing those whispers about her, were saying those things about her, and now they're not accurate. She's not the barren one. She spared them the embarrassment and guilt of making what were now false accusations against her. And when she next appeared in public, there was no doubt about her condition. You see, the light of Christ causes us to pursue humility and live out Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Elizabeth was able to gloat at that point, but instead, she pulled herself away to preserve the dignity of others. So she could have started thinking that she's really quite the big deal, but note what she says in verse 43. "Why am I so favored?" You see, light humbles. Light brings humility. When we put ourselves in the light, when we really look at the light, it humbles us. It was 40 years ago in about 2 weeks. It was about the middle of November that my boss in the military, Woody Rogers, invited me over to his house one night, and he shared the gospel with me, the first time I ever remember anybody sharing the gospel with me. And that night, I received Christ, and my life began a transformation. Called Woody a couple weeks ago, and I said, "Hey, it's the 40th anniversary of a guy sitting in your living room, and who is it?" You know, I didn't tell him who was on the phone. 40 years, you know, of course he's going, "Oh, hey, Gary." And then we reminisced and talked a bit about what an incredible jerk I was and what a piece of work I was. Correction. A piece of work I am. Why me? Why did the light come to me of all people? And if you think that I'm just being humble, let me tell you some stories sometime, and I will confirm. The light of Christ coming for me bursts forth in amazing, astounding gratitude. We should all be saying this Christmas, "Why me?" Light humbles. But thirdly, in Elizabeth's story, we find light transforms. We can read this too casually. I want you to look at the carefulness of Luke's research. And if you're skeptical about what the Bible teaches, you really need to dive into Luke and see some of the details that he weaves into here. He writes with this very fine pen that says, "Catch this detail." Now, the first one I'm going to have a little bit of fun with. I want you to notice how he researches what Elizabeth and Zachariah by the angel were told about John. Okay, now picture this. Remember, so you who have children, this is your child, right? You're going to be told this about your kid. It begins in verse 14. The angel prophecy says he's going to be a son. Okay, well, there's no ultrasound. That's, you know, something. He'll be great. He's not going to drink, not at all. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born, okay? Through him, many will turn back to the Lord. Now remember, it was a very dark time. He will be the prophesied forerunner of the Lord. He will live in the Spirit and the power of Elijah, and people will become prepared for the Lord to come. Now this is what your son is going to do. Are you kidding me? Most of us can't even get our kids to pick up their room. This is a miracle. Look at all the stuff that he's doing, that he's going to do. And they are told that ahead of time. Now afterward, Mary receives her message. They are told who that child is going to be. And then Mary is told, beginning at verse 29 or 39, that she's told by also the same angel. And then verse 39 says, two indications of time that are stamped there in verse 39. I want you to catch this. The carefulness of Luke's research. Notice what he says. The angel gives the prophecy. And then he says, first, at that time. Now, usually that's enough to anchor it. In other words, right away. But then he says, she hurried and went. Now, why did he tell us that? Because he researched it. He found out. Now, when did you go, Mary? And you went right away? You took right off. The angel spoke to you and you went there right away? Now, that's very important that he understands and he tells us that. And he takes two time references in one verse to tell us that that's what took place. And why is that a big deal? Because notice what happens. She goes there then and she walks into the room. And she, or even the outside, the yard, we don't know. And she greets Elizabeth, and verse 41 says, the baby, John, leaped for joy at hearing her voice, just like that. How can that happen? Only because it was prophesied that John the Baptist would be filled with the Spirit before, because light transforms. Gabriel said that he was going to do this kind of stuff, that he would have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit even in utero. How does a baby know to leap at the sound of a voice he has never heard before? Now, we hear about babies in utero responding to dad's voice or other voices that they've heard. He never heard this voice before. Never. And he knew who that person was. Light transforms. But then also, Elizabeth, notice what she says. Blessed are you among women, and blessed are the child you will bear. How does she know she's pregnant? Remember that Mary is perhaps just a couple of, days, perhaps weeks pregnant. She might not even know for sure that she's pregnant. In terms of her cycle, she might not be confirmed in that yet. And yet, Elizabeth knows that she's pregnant. How does she know that? Light transforms. God revealed it to her. You'll be surprised at what God will reveal to you as you pursue the light. You'll be amazed at how much He'll show you if you'll look to the light. If you ask Him to reveal the light. Elizabeth knows Mary is pregnant, but it isn't just that she knows that she's pregnant. She knows the identity of that baby. Verse 43, the mother of my Lord should come to me. How does she know that? She knows it's a baby boy. She knows it's the mother of the Lord. How can she possibly know that? Light reveals. Luke is being very careful to tell you, I've researched this. I've looked. This is no ordinary baby. This is no normal story. How can the mother of my Lord come to me? Only light can do that. And then she knows the baby's leap in her womb is a leap of joy. How can she know that? Because light transforms. Verse 45 says, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill His promises to her. You see, Elizabeth recognized that Mary was there so early that she probably couldn't absolutely know that she's pregnant at this point. That's speculation, but the idea is she knows Mary is there based upon belief, not evidence. She has come believing that she is going to be the bearer of the Lord. She doesn't have any proof of that. Maybe she knows now she's pregnant. She could know that. She's there believing because light reveals. Elizabeth knows. Mary knows because God revealed. Light reveals. Now, I get it. This is a particular story at a particular time and space event. It's never repeated. It won't ever be repeated again. It doesn't happen again. So what is the real takeaway for us? We're not going to find someone who is a virgin pregnant again and get told via the light to announce it or to proclaim it. It's a very unique story. But He did tell us the particulars of the story to help us bear the light. See, we are given the light so that then we would bear the light and tell the story. We would go out and we would continue to declare and to show it. Those who are transformed by the light become light bearers. We get to say it. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. How'd I do? And you are not being hidden. Let me just highlight a few things. Parkview School, we continue to hear work of taking the light there and transformation going on in the stories. Stories from Rooted Kids Ministry, light transforming in the lives there. Ministry through Love, Inc., light transforming being going out into the community. One-on-one discipleship that's going on, light transforming people. Help with a Belgium Restart Church, light transforming. Marriages reconciled, light bringing transformation. Sacrificial giving to send workers to the ends of the earth, light transforming through your lives. Teenagers obedient to their parents and their teachers, light transforming, moving and working in you. Helping prisoners, sharing your faith, being faithful at work, helping a neighbor, light transforming. And he's using you to do those things, to be light bearers. The lights of Christmas Project is designed to help us to continue to increase our lights. If you didn't get this handout there on the tables around, grab one, but also look at the website. Go there and listen to the talk, the explanation about it. We've worked hard to steward resources toward kingdom impact, inviting you to increase your sacrifice to say, let's be the light bearers. Well, I want to grab the Elizabeth story, and I want to let you hear it again.
No spring chicken.
So here she is.
That's the first thing my neighbor said to me when I told her I was pregnant. Can you believe that? Maybe she just didn't believe me, but I don't hold it against her. She'd been a tad bit cranky ever since she found that scorpion in her girdle drawer. Maybe she just didn't realize what a miracle this was for me. I mean, Zachariah and I had been trying to have a child of our own our whole lives. By the time most of my hair had turned gray and Zachariah's had turned loose, we had given up hope. But nothing is impossible for God. He seems to delight in making life out of barren places. And as if that wasn't enough, the angel who brought us this unbelievable news had even more to say. This child, our son, would be used by God to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. This was all too much of a gift to be real. And I thought, well, how am I going to train this child for a job like that? But God had those details covered too. And it keeps getting better. When I was about 6 months along, my cousin Mary came for a visit. And no sooner had she said hello than this unborn son jumped and flipped inside of me. Right then, God just opened my eyes so that I could clearly see that this young girl standing in my home was also with child, and he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. About 9 months later, we got the news from Bethlehem. And I looked over at Zachariah holding our very own miracle baby. I had one of those God moments. You know, when you just realize, you say, God just had different plans. He had brought us life in barren places. He hadn't forgotten about us. And he would never leave us alone again.
God has gone to great measures to tell you of his light. He has worked out centuries and centuries of details to tell you of the particulars of his light coming into the world. Not so you can be weighed down by shame. Not so you can continue to beat yourself up for that which you cannot change. But rather so that you would come and be transformed in the light, that the light helps us to be amazingly focused on other people making a difference in this dark world today. Light came into the world so we can be the light and we can transform the world around us. Let's continue to be the light. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your work, for the incredible and amazing story that you have orchestrated, and that you did that so that we would know beyond a shadow of doubt that Jesus came for us. Not just generically for the world, but you came for me. Father, if we've not responded to that, would we respond this day, surrendering our life to you? But for those of us who have done that, whether days ago, weeks ago, or decades ago, today, refresh us. Help us to continue to be the bearers of the light. Would the light of Christ shine in us and through us? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.